You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Mom life. We're surrounded with the message that it's the tired life, the no time for myself life, the hard life. And while it is hard and full of lots of servitude, the idea that motherhood means a joyless life is something I'm passionate about putting a stop to. I'm on a mission to help you stop counting down the minutes till bedtime. At least most days. I want you to stop cleaning up after your kid's childhood and start being present for it. Start enjoying it. I believe in John 10:10 that we are called to abundant life, and I know mothers are not excluded from that promise. Join me in conversations about simplicity, minimalism, and lots of other good stuff that leads to a life of less for the sake of enjoying more in your motherhood. I'm Ali Casaza, and this is The Purpose Show. Hey, friend. Today, I want to talk about something that's kind of heavy and definitely raw and vulnerable and might be difficult to hear. I think a few months ago, it would have been difficult to share too, but today it's not. I'm ready and I feel peaceful and I even feel excited to let you in on this, this part of my life. And I'm really hopeful that it'll help somebody out there listening. But before I dive in, I want to let you know that we're going to be talking about emotional eating, emotional binging, and food addiction. This has been a struggle for me, pretty much my entire adult life. And I think this can be a really sensitive topic. And I want you to know that I do not mean to point the finger at anyone or make you feel awful about yourself. If your health or your weight has been something that you've struggled with in your life, please know that this isn't like directed at you. I want you to know that this episode is just me sitting at my desk in front of my microphone, sharing and opening up about a very private struggle in my life. Something that has been a part of most of my life and has totally ruled me at many different points in my life. This episode is about me and my struggle. And I want you to know as the listener that you can do whatever you choose to do with this episode. You could take it to heart and make changes if that's where you feel led, if that's what you want to do after listening. You could turn it off right now and not listen to the rest of it. You could listen and do nothing because you don't struggle with this area of your life, or you do struggle with it and you're not there yet. You're not ready to change. My hope for this episode is that it would bring a light and shine it on this problem area that not a lot of people are talking about in our world, and that it would uplift somebody. I don't want it to bring anyone down. I want it to be really open and honest, and I want it to be a help to somebody. A few months ago, I was doing a live stream in one of my Facebook groups, and this topic came up, and I just kind of casually shared a little bit about my history with emotional eating and food addiction. And the response was so overwhelming. And even now, I get messages and emails from the women who happen to catch that live on a regular basis asking if I would ever consider opening up more and doing an episode about it or a blog post or even write a book or something. And, you know, I honestly never really thought about it. I think I was so caught up in the battle of actively fighting this battle in my life that I didn't really think about, oh, this is something that I'm dealing with. This is something I could share about. But now I can confidently tell you that I'm winning this battle with emotional eating and food addiction. And I'm happy to open up and share now that I kind of have a little bit of hindsight. It's still very present. It's kind of like yelling. It's still something that I struggle with and that I'll probably always struggle with. But I know who I am and I know where I stand and I know what I should and shouldn't do. And I've got a good grip on this, and so much has been done in my life in this area that I'm ready to share. And so I just want you to know what my intent is with this episode. I know that things like anorexia and bulimia and a negative body image and all those things are very, very real things. And I just want to be really clear that my intent is simply to open up the, you know, kind of peel the curtains back on my own life. And this episode is about me and my struggle. So let's first start with going over what is emotional eating and kind of what does it look like when it's lived out. I've read in the past that emotional eating is unavoidable, that it's just something that we do no matter what. And I would have to very strongly disagree that it's unavoidable. I think that we have absolutely have the choice of what we put into our bodies. And I think that's a very hopeless statement. And I remember reading that at a difficult time in my life, struggling with this and feeling like I use it as an excuse. Like, see, even science says that it's unavoidable. So it's okay. And it's not okay. I was using food to fill a gap in my heart and in my life. I was basically idolizing food, and it started to run my life. I started to, I would have a hard day, or we would be going through something. This was a really prominent in the time of me and Brian's life when we were really broke. If you haven't listened to episode 6, you can get that story there. Things were just really hard. It was a constant struggle. And food was kind of my sanctuary. It was an escape. Junk food is cheap. And having sugar and having junk food releases hormones and chemicals in you. And it gives you a reaction. It is addictive. It gives you a high. And I was actively seeking out food, fast food, junk food like Oreos, candy, sweet, salty, all different types of just food that was not good for me, and just binge eating it. For a long time, it was pretty much every night. I'd go through little bouts where I would stop, and then I'd come back to it. You know, maybe I'd stop for a few days, maybe a few weeks, maybe even a couple months, and then I would come back to it. It was an addiction. It absolutely had a hold on my life. And this is something that is embarrassing to me. It's embarrassing to admit that I binge ate food when, you know, my closest friends are fit and skinny and health minded, and they've never struggled with this. And I always felt like the only one, but I know I'm not. And so if you're listening to my voice right now and you struggle with this, please know, I wish with everything that I have right now that I could just hold on to your hand and look at you and tell you that you shouldn't be embarrassed, that everybody has struggles and this is ours, and I'm right there with you. So going back to the source of the problem, it was using foods that taste good and are terrible for you, for me, to cope with what I was feeling emotionally. That's kind of the definition of emotional eating, and that's what it looked like for me. Just actively seeking it out and going and getting junk to kind of act like a salve on to myself, because I was feeling emotions that were difficult or not positive, and fixing it, quotes, with food. What I have struggled with goes beyond a little bit of stress eating. It was full on pigging out to avoid dealing with something that felt too big for me. At one point, this is a side note, I have a really good metabolism. From what I can tell, it's great. I did emotional eating for most of my adult life and didn't really start to gain a lot of weight until after I got married, and especially after I had kids. But for how badly I was eating and how much I was eating, I feel like I should have been much heavier. And because I wasn't, it was easy to just keep going, because I'm not one of those people that has a slice of pizza and then you can see it on me the next day. Actually, my husband is like that, and it really sucks, and I feel so bad for him. He works so hard and he eats really well, and he just has the hardest time losing weight. He has had tests done, doesn't have any thyroid issues or anything like that, but it's just his metabolism. It's just the way his body is. And I don't have that. So it takes a lot for me to gain weight. Having said that, I gained over 50 pounds at one point very quickly, purely because I chose to be inactive and I ate my emotions on a daily basis. I would wake up in the morning and decide, today I'm done. Today I'm gonna, quote, be good. And then that night it would just be after dinner, I'd be hungry. I didn't want to make a mess in the kitchen again. The day was hard. There was stresses. I didn't want tomorrow to come, because my life was so difficult at one point that I would just cave and get food. I would actively seek out going and getting food. And Brian would enable that and go and get it for me. And we kind of just tag teamed this unhealthiness. And it was so, so bad. And even as I'm saying it, I'm just embarrassed. But that's the reality. And that's what addiction looks like. And we need to stop pretending that it doesn't exist or that none of us have any of that. Maybe you don't, but not everybody is like you. And some of us have actual addictions. And I want to address food addiction because it is like one of the only, if not the only addiction where your like vice is placed in front of you multiple times a day. You have to eat multiple times a day. There's no getting around it. And it's not like with alcohol that you have to drink alcohol multiple times a day and you just have to control how much you drink of it. It's not like with heroin that you have to, you know, you have to get a certain amount of heroin every day to live a healthy life and you just have an addiction and you have to watch how much of it you take in. Even with things like pornography, it's just not that way. Yes, temptation is there and, you know, it can be addictive and it's there all the time, but food is really the only addiction where you have to take in what you're addicted to on a regular basis and just control how much and what kind you put into your body. And that is what makes it so incredibly addictive and difficult to overcome. And I think that's also what makes it not a big deal in our culture. Like nobody really is talking about this. So I used food to avoid my problems for a long time. Specifically, when things got really hard when we were in Arkansas, we had moved away from all of our friends and family. Again, reference episode 6 if you don't know this part of our story. It's very powerful and very real, and this kind of ties in with that. We were super broke. I didn't know why God had moved us out to Arkansas. I was angry with him and kind of giving him the silent treatment. And things were just really difficult. We had no friends and family. It was so hard. And this is when I gained that 50 pounds. Things were just got so hard that at a lot of points, there really was no solution. And it was just a waiting game to see what the heck we were supposed to do. And especially at night, it got very difficult. It was just so much easier to eat than to deal with things and come up with solutions. The brain has a reward system that hardwires us to want to engage in behaviors that we find pleasurable, like eating tasty foods. So when we eat junk foods, the reward circuits within our brains activate and release the chemical dopamine. Our brains can become overwhelmed by the pleasure from these rewarding foods. And so in response, the brain adapts and makes more receptors for dopamine. I hope this is making sense. What this means is that a greater amount of junk food is needed to get the same kick, making us eat more and more in the same way that an addict develops a tolerance to drugs and has to continue to increase the amount of drugs they're taking. So our brains are hardwired to seek out and want rewarding foods, making us crave and desire sweet and fatty foods. I had to realize that I had a problem. And as embarrassing as it was to admit what that problem was, that was my reality and it was owning me. Food had become this idol in my life and I started to plan my day around it. And everywhere I went, food was at the front of my mind. I remember this one time I had to go to the mall to get something. I don't know what it was. And I walked into the mall and I was in the food court and just the sights and smells of the food court overwhelmed my senses. And I had been like trying to, again, quotation marks up here, be good and be healthy. And I wasn't dealing with the heart issue. It wasn't a self-control issue. I had an addiction that I was sweeping under the rug. And you can't just decide to be healthy. You have to deal with the heart and the root problem, which is addiction. And addiction is serious. And I remember walking into that food court and just being so overwhelmed with all the smells. And I started to get like that. I started to act like an addict, like the addict that I was. And I got really like hyped up and like excited and like, oh my gosh, what can I eat here? What am I going to eat for lunch? Okay, it's 11. I'm definitely going to be here at lunchtime. What am I going to eat? And I started just planning out my food and being like obsessive about how I was going to get to eat something like really bad and really good. And again, this is embarrassing for me to share. I don't like to sound like a cow, you know, I don't like to sound obsessed and food driven like that. It's in feminine. It's embarrassing. It's humbling, but this is the reality and this is addiction. And listen to the way that I'm talking about this. Listen to the way I'm talking about how I felt and how I reacted. That's addiction. That's what addicts act like. Just because it's food doesn't mean that I'm dramatic. Stop calling yourself an addict, Allie. It's not what it is. Yes, it is. It's just that my addiction is something, quote, normal. It's not heroin. You know, it's not pot. It's not, you know, sex. It's this thing that is normal every day that I have to deal with and put in my body every day, and I'm having a hard time. Everywhere I went, food was at the front of my mind.
Do you feel like you're barely getting through your days, friend? Does motherhood feel more like a hurricane of chaos that you're just kind of surviving rather than the awesome, joy-filled season that you want it to be? While motherhood is hard, and I'm not going to lie to you about that, and it is servitude and giving to your family from yourself, it doesn't have to be something that we're waiting to be over, something that we're spending counting down the minutes till nap time or bedtime or waiting for the next day to start. If you're wanting to sort through the clutter in your mind, your heart, your home, calendar, health, routines, and relationships, I created Unburdened just for you. It is a guide that will help you go from drowning in a sea of stress and overwhelm to owning your time and living the best version of your motherhood so you can live abundant, well, and intentionally focused on those who matter most. Unburdened is the overwhelmed beginner's guide to a simpler motherhood. In Unburdened, I will walk you through how to stop overcomplicating, procrastinating, and just start making positive changes now, how to declutter just a little bit, not getting super deep into it because you can't handle that when you're this overwhelmed, but just kind of a surface declutter that will get you real results in your house so you can just clean up less, how to declutter toxic relationships in your life and set some good boundaries, how to simplify clean eating, get healthy and feel better finally, how to simplify your calendar, how to start owning your time and not just manage it as life happens to you, how to stop just setting goals and letting them sit there and start actually defining where you want to go and getting there through reverse engineering and goal setting, how to create a cleaning routine that works for you and your life. This course is a mini course. It is small, but it is straightforward, and it is everything for the mom who feels like she needs a total overhaul but is too overwhelmed to start. It'll help you simplify the things that have you stuck and leave survival mode behind for good. If this is resonating with you and sounds like you and something that would really help you right now, go to bit.ly/getunburdened or click the show notes for this episode and click the link to Unburdened and just check it out, read about it, see if it sounds good to you. I really poured my heart into this little course and I created it for the mom who's just really wanting to simplify and declutter and pursue a life of less, but she's so burdened and so overwhelmed with the mess of just all the things. It's not just her house, and she wants to sort of simplify on the surface of all the different things in her life so that she can focus on her family more, so that then maybe she can focus more specifically on really truly purging her entire house. So this sounds like it's for you. I encourage you to check it out. You're probably the person that I created this for, and I want you in there. I want you to have it. I want to help you. So go check it out, bit.ly/getunburdened.
So that kind of gives you a really good idea of where I was at, what was going through my brain, what I mean by saying food addiction and emotional binging. That's where I was, and that's where I stayed for years. And I kind of like bounced back and forth between like doing good and stopping my habits and eating really healthy, not eating late at night, and then I would come right back to it. So I kind of flip-flopped between these habits, and it kind of made me just stay the same size. And so no one really noticed that I had a problem. It wasn't until in Arkansas when we moved away that I really gained a ton of weight because I just took it to a whole new level, but I didn't have any of my family and friends around me, so nobody really knew. And it was just really bad. There is a photo. I have one photo of myself during this time, and it's so hard for me to look at. I have one pair of jeans. I actually gave them to my mom because she uses denim she's a sewer and she uses the denim and she hasn't used them, the jeans yet. And so sometimes when I'm over there, I'll go into her sewing room and pull out those jeans and just hold them up and want to cry. Not because, oh my God, I was so huge and I just looked so terrible, because I made my body alter its state so dramatically because I was addicted and I was seeking out food instead of Jesus. And it was so hard. So that's kind of where I was. That's the truth of this struggle and what food addiction looked like for me. And I kind of want to talk about the process of coming out of this and how I'm winning this battle. I'm not getting into all the history because I don't want this episode to be 5 hours long, but there's little things like from me growing up into being a teenager, into being a young adult, to being married and then being broke and married and then having kids that all tie into how I got there. But that doesn't really matter. What matters is the struggle, the battle, the realization, and what happened, how I got over that. So I had to take a hard look at my relationship with food and put it in its place. It's to be enjoyed. You can't look at the foods that God gave us and tell me that He didn't intend for food to be enjoyed. But it's supposed to fuel your body and not be an obsession. Anything that's taken like the way I took food is an idol, and it's not supposed to be that way. And so, kind of summarizing this, we were going to move back. The business had started, the business had taken off, and we were going to buy a camper and start traveling the country and come back to California to see our friends and family after being away for, 2 years. And I panicked because I knew I was bigger. I knew no one had seen me, and I didn't want to go back like that. And so I started to look into what are the ways that I could drop this healthfully but quickly. And I knew because I had gained so much weight that it would probably come off pretty quickly because, typically if you're pretty overweight for your normal self and you make like immediate dramatic changes, you'll drop the weight pretty quickly in the beginning. And so I started to research and, Whole30 was becoming a really big thing at this time, but I hadn't done it yet. So I looked up the Whole30. If you aren't familiar with it, it was created by Melissa Hartwig. Or co-created by her. And it's basically a way of eating where you're really just eating clean, whole foods, vegetables, meats that are processed, not processed, and meats that are organic and like free range and grass-fed and finished, like really high quality, good foods. And thankfully at this time we were newly able to afford to eat this way. So Brian and I did Whole30 together. I actually did it twice in a row and the weight just fell off. This is not about looking good, being thin, and losing weight though. That was my original intent, and I'm just being honest with you about that. The main drive for me making this change in my life was my appearance. My skin was awful. It was so broken out. I had gained over 50 pounds. I was multiple sizes bigger than I was when I left California, and here I was about to go back. I'm a blogger. Taking photos is a part of my job. I was embarrassed. As you know, the camera already adds weight. It really does. There's so many times, even now, where I'm like, I still have, I have goals and I have work that I'd like to do, and I would, like to continue to get healthy and hopefully, hopefully smaller and fitter. But even now, I will get photos done and I'm like, that's not what I look like. That's like just your posture or the angle is so many different things. And so the last thing I needed was to truly be much bigger than I normally was. I just didn't feel good. So my original intent was definitely appearance driven. I was just so embarrassed to go back that way. So I did the Whole30. I did it twice in a row, but I think we headed back from Arkansas about halfway through my second round. So it was like the whole 60, I guess. And about halfway through my second round, I felt much better. I had lost almost all the weight. It went very quickly. I was definitely working out too. And we came back and nobody noticed anything. In fact, the first time that I saw everybody, like my mom, and then I saw my best friend, and every time I saw somebody new when we got back, they commented that I looked really great, and that felt really good. But what had happened in the process of doing the Whole30 twice, in between leaving Arkansas and coming back to California, something had happened. My heart had shifted. I went into this with the intent to look better and not let people know my embarrassing secret. That I was addicted to food and I had gone way off the deep end with that and just totally idolized it and let it take over my life and gained so much weight. Let my skin get like that. Let my body get like that. That I just looked so different. I felt awful, you guys. I just felt so awful in myself. And so that was the original intent. But through the process of this, my heart changed and the Lord really used Whole30 to get a hold of me. The Whole 30 is the opposite of how I was eating. It's like clean vegetables, fruits, no sweetener of any kind, not even honey. It's basically created to help you revamp your relationship with food and realize if there's anything bothering you, like just getting everything out so you can see, wow, not having gluten, I feel so much better. I think I might have a gluten sensitivity. It's kind of like almost an elimination diet of sorts. And it's really clean and really wholesome and really good for you. And it was really hard coming off of eating Taco Bell every night and Oreos. And hey, I really want like some hot tamales. Let's go get some. And just binge eating whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. Coming from that to Whole 30 is really difficult. But I'm competitive and I cared about how I looked and I was determined to change. So as I went into this process, I started to have withdrawals. And I remember many nights screaming and crying into my pillow because I wanted sugar and my body was aching. I was having a headache. I had fevers and chills. This is how bad I had let my food addiction get to where this is how I was reacting from not eating the way I normally was. And I would cry because I was embarrassed in front of my own self, in front of Brian, in front of God, that I was so addicted that this was my reaction to eating healthy, to eating the way that he designed us to eat. What happened in those couple of months was I realized that I had idolized food so much. And Whole 30 became an act of worship. It became me laying this idol down and giving it to the Lord and realizing that it was my everything, that I wasn't going and thinking through my problems and brainstorming and being a proactive person and coming up with new ideas. How can we fix this? Okay, how can we make this better for ourselves? I was just avoiding all of my problems and going to food. I wasn't praying. I wasn't reading my Bible. I wasn't reading books. I'm such a big reader. I had just gone all in with food. And Whole 30 really taught me to lay that down and to give that up. It taught me how to be a person without being obsessive about my next meal, without going somewhere because of the food that's there, like the mall situation that I told you guys about. Now, I do Whole 30 every once in a while. I'm doing it right now. I'm in my last week. And it is such an act of worship for me. Whole 30 is kind of how I eat all the time now. This last round that I'm doing right now that I'm finishing up, I really decided, you know what? I'm just going to eat this way. I'm not going to be crazy and not have honey because I like doing things like I have turmeric milk in the evenings and there's a little bit of honey in that. And turmeric milk is incredibly beneficial for you. It really helps my skin and my gut. And I need to put a little teaspoon of honey in there to make it, you know, drinkable. And, you know, so I'm not going to, you know, do things like that. But in general, I want to live on a clean, whole diet like Whole 30 and paleo because this is keeping my addiction in check. I needed to realize that I have an addiction, that I have a problem, that I can't mess around with food. I can't be like everybody else and just eat, you know, whatever and be okay. That if I'm choosing to go ahead and have a slice of pizza at a graduation party, I'm mentally having to work through like, okay, I'm going to have one slice and that's it because I can't handle having any more or not having any at all. Recently, we did go to a graduation party. That's where that example came from. And there was pizza from a restaurant that is new in our area that I have heard everybody that I know just raving about. And I have been dying to try this pizza. And there was also cake and soda and beer. Those are all my favorite things, basically. And I was doing the Whole 30. And that night was so difficult for me, even now, after overcoming this. This is just the way that I am. I know it'll get easier as time goes on, as you know, a lot of people who overcome addiction say that. But this is the reality. And I can't feel stupid about that and ignore it and shove it under the rug like it's not a problem because no one talks about that and I'm just being dramatic. This is me. This is where I've been and this is my struggle. And so I have to just be different. I love food. I enjoy food so much. Cheeseburgers are my favorite thing, and I enjoy the things that I love in moderation. The other day, the day before I started Whole30, I had actually just finished I just want to be clear. I try to eat Whole30 about 90% of the time. I'll have a little bit of honey, you know, and I'm a normal person, but I try to, when I'm making dinners and stuff, I always get Whole30 recipes and for my lunches and my breakfast and stuff. Like when I'm at home, I'm eating Whole30 all the time because my body just does so well eating that way. But there will be times where I will go through and I will do an actual real Whole30 with no honey, no turmeric milk, no sweeteners of any kind. And I will really do Whole30 again, just again, as a reminder of who I serve, as an act of worship, as a reminder to myself, like, you're strong, you can do this. And just kind of keeping myself in check in that way. And I really enjoy it. So I had just finished up another round of Whole30 and I was going to do it again, but I had like a week in between where I was just kind of eating normal, just eating really clean and healthy, but you know, I would have honey and just be normal. And it was Sunday after church and we went to this place called Burger Lounge where I can get a paleo burger. And I was like, no cheese, no sauces. It's like layered over zucchini. It's really healthy and really good. But I was just in such a mood for a regular cheeseburger. That is my favorite food, hands down. I got a giant regular cheeseburger on a gluten-free bun because I didn't want it to bother my stomach. Sometimes a lot of gluten will bother my stomach. And it was a great quality grass-fed burger with cheese and sauce. And I devoured that thing and it was awesome. But it wasn't an obsession where my addiction was flaring up and I was like obsessively like, I gotta get this cheeseburger. I'm gonna leave at 10:30 p.m. and go and drive and get a cheeseburger because you can't deal with these emotions. I can't go to sleep until I get that rush of dopamine. It wasn't like that. It was just a girl who loves cheeseburgers enjoying a nice big cheeseburger. And then that was it. And I was great. I was satisfied. I was happy. I didn't have a soda with it or anything. I just enjoyed my lemon water with it and I was good. Didn't have fries or anything. I just enjoyed my burger and that was it. It's about balance and practicing healthfulness, mindfulness, and self-control. And I would encourage you to also go back and listen to my episode with Robin Long on this show because I love the way she talks about this. It's about balance. It's not about punishing yourself or never having anything again. It's about balance and knowing yourself and knowing when you can have a little bit and when you can't handle that. And the Whole30 really taught me that. It really taught me to take care of my body as an act of worship and as an act of self-care, and just laying down my flesh and my obsession and just saying, this is hard. This is real. This is my struggle. This is really hard, but I don't have to live this way. And this isn't going to own me. I'm going to take control back. And at the same time, give control over to God and have him help me through this addiction problem. And so I hope that's helpful. I know I didn't like go over like so many details of like, this is exactly what I did and exactly what I do now. But I just wanted to open up the door to this dark part of my life and just be honest and say, this is something that I've struggled with. It's been really humbling and really difficult. And this is what I learned and what I did to get control of it. And so now my life is very different. I'm actively getting healthier, losing weight. I'm learning to love to exercise because I eat so clean all the time. Exercise is much easier for me. I think that was a big problem. I can handle little bits of gluten and dairy, but I don't do well when I'm eating either of those things all the time. And so when I'm eating Whole30 and I'm eating this way and I'm barely having anything like that, my body functions way better and running is so much easier. I think the problem was I never liked exercising because it was so difficult for me because I was eating so terribly and my body, like I felt like there was always a brick in my stomach and I just couldn't perform. And now like I love to go for walks and runs. I love Pilates and yoga. I do it every single day. Pilates, yoga's occasionally. I do Pilates every single day. And I'll give you guys the link to where I do Pilates. It's at home. It's online. It's awesome. Robin is amazing. She's an incredible teacher. I'll give you guys that link. I love kickboxing. I do that in my garage because we have a garage gym now. I'm active. I'm happy. I'm getting healthier and in turn getting smaller and fitter and noticing things like my strong arms and loving my body better, even though it has its imperfections and I wish it would go faster. I wish it was already smaller. I don't focus on those things anymore. I love myself. I take care of myself. And every time I'm going to make a meal, I think to myself, this is an act of worship. I used to be so different than this. I'm treating my body well because I have a job to do and I cannot live my purpose, take care of my kids, run my business, show up for you guys, show up in my marriage, be happy and healthy, go to speaking engagements, do all these podcast interviews if I don't feel good. And that's a big deal to me. So that's my journey. That's what I've learned in this area of my life. That's how I used to be and where things are kind of at now. Oh my gosh, you guys, I hope that this was just a huge encouragement to somebody out there. And if that's you, please, please let me know. I would love to hear from you. Okay, there is a freebie for you guys that goes with this episode. It's the Simplified Grocery and Meal Planning PDF. It's a fan favorite. It's been floating around on the internet for a few months. People really like it. And it's just something that will help you simplify the process of grocery shopping, planning your meals, food prepping, all that good stuff, because we do have to eat so often during the day and it can be really complicated. So if you're looking to make some healthy changes and simplify this area of your life, kind of take a minimalist approach to all of that, go get it. It's totally free. You can find it at aliecasaza.com/shownotes/62. This was an episode of The Purpose Show. Did you know there's an exclusive community created solely for the sake of continuing discussion surrounding The Purpose Show episodes and to get you to actually take action and make positive changes on the things that you learn here? Go be a part of it. To join, go to facebook.com/groups/purposefulmamas. That's M-A-M-A-S. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're ready to up-level and really take action on the things I talk about on my show and get step-by-step help from me, head to aliecasaza.com for free downloads. There's also courses there, classes, and ways that you can learn more about what the next step might look like for you and to focus on whatever it is that you really need help with in this season you're in right now. I'm always rooting for you, friend. See you next time.